We stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Gracious God, out of your love and mercy, you breathed into dust the breath of life, creating us to serve you and our neighbors. Call forth our prayers and acts of kindness, and strengthen us to face our mortality with confidence in the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and dark thickness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes, the like of theirs never been seen from old, nor will again be seen after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishment. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the gods, the ages, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Here ends the first reading. The second reading is from the second book of Corinthians. We entreat to you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to our God. For our sake he made to him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. Now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no one fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves every day through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet we are well known, as dying, and see, we are living, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoice as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So what is Lent anyway? From its earliest beginnings, Lent was a time for preparation for baptisms that were to come at Easter, particularly at the Easter Vigil. And so for those already baptized into the faith of the church, Lent was a season of baptismal renewal, of returning to the promises of baptism and rooting our lives in those promises. This central baptismal focus of Lent continues for the church today. The disciplines of Lent, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, ought not be seen as some kind of guilt trip exercise or some way that we earn our merit before God, but as spiritual exercise of our baptismal identity. Lent constantly will invite the believer and those coming to new faith to consider what baptismal living and, frankly, baptismal dying means and how being baptized radically changes everything. Lent, then, is not a season for us that has to be all about sorrow and forced sadness, but it's an opportunity that comes for us to grow in the life of the faith. What is Ash Wednesday? This holy day has been observed by Christians for over 1,000 years. Ash Wednesday is considered the first day of the season of Lent, which is 40 days before Easter. Okay, but why ashes, right? I've already been to church today at noon. Why ashes and why a cross? For thousands of years, ashes have symbolized mourning and repentance, and in especially Judeo-Christian culture. While the practice of Ash Wednesday, putting ashes on our heads, is not necessarily biblical in the sense that it was mandated, ashes as a sign of repentance absolutely are found throughout the Bible. So we place ashes on our forehead in the sign of the cross as a way of remembering both our mortality and our need for forgiveness, but also the love and salvation that is given to us by Jesus on the cross. So a cross of ashes for us signifies both our ailment and our cure. Okay, but why do we say, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return"? So these are the words spoken to Adam after humans committed their first sin in Genesis. On your bulletin, it references the fact that that phrase is repeated again in Ecclesiastes, but it goes back to Genesis and the first sin. So we say these words to remind ourselves that God is God and we are not, right? We direct ourselves to the finite nature of our lives. Our time here is limited. And the intention behind that is not to depress you when you leave on Ash Wednesday, but to remind you, to give you some relief that God is in control of the cosmos, not you, right? And not me. In a nutshell, don't take yourselves too seriously. Trust in God, who will be here long after we're gone and who was here long before we were around. And you might ask, isn't this all just a bit morbid, all this ashes and mortality talk? Yeah, actually, kind of it is. But the thing is, we believe that the more we embrace our mortality and our imperfection, well, the less we have to be afraid of it, and the more we will turn to God. What allows us to stare death in the face without fear is the assurance that in the resurrection, death has ultimately been defeated, and so through Christ Jesus, we receive eternal life. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is number 599, and I'm going to invite you to stay seated during that because we're also going to pass the offering plates during the hymn. We stand as our service continues on page 252 in the front of your book. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another and before the whole company of heaven that we have sinned by our fault, by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O God. We have shut our ears to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, O God. Our past unfaithfulness, the pride, envy, hypocrisy and apathy that have infected our lives, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Time, beginning with the choir, we'll invite you to be seated and then come forward to receive ashes. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation, that we may show forth your glory in the world. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Savior,
bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection.
Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Stand.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set
before us this feast, the body and the blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good, render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people, love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. We go in peace.